Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
His name was Jeremy. He was on WordPress with a passion for youth sports and some free time on his hands. That SB Nation, they came a-calling. Despite trying to perfect his art, he knew something wasn't right. Then Chris came writing on and started poking fun. They decided to start a podcast, and who could ask for more at the Mountain West Connection. Just be sure you don't ever skip this section here at the Mountain West Connection. Recaps and previews, such stats, and just random at the Mountain.
Welcome back to today's Mountain West Connection podcast. You can always find our work at mwcconnection.com, on Twitter, MWC Connection, hey, even Facebook, Mountain West Connection. I'm Jeremy here. It's been a while since we talked to everybody. Chris will be joining us momentarily as we do our interview portion this week. Our upcoming shows, we haven't done our big review show this season. We're putting stuff together to get that taken care of in a couple weeks. But this next few shows, we got some big guests lined up for recruiting. And this first show back since it's been a couple of weeks, we'll be talking Boise State recruiting. Partly because, hey, Boise State's a pretty big deal. They've been a very good team for a while. New coaching change. Chris Peterson leaves to Washington. Brian Harsin comes back to take his role as the head coach prior to being the offensive coordinator of Boise State, coming from Arkansas State. And we're going to have on Andrew Sayre from the Boise State Rivals site, blue-turf.com. We'll discuss kind of how the coaching change affects the team in recruiting, kind of what the message Harsin is sending instead of Peterson, if it's the same, if it's not the same. We've got some visits this weekend. I know this is going up very late, so the news won't be outdated, but the visits will probably already happen or be in progress by the time you listen to this. So hopefully if you listen to it soon, you won't be missing out on too much news. We're kind of talking about the guys who are coming in. Boise has about 5 recruits this week coming in. And then we'll kind of discuss like their biggest need for positions. Kind of just an overview, nothing too specific except for maybe a few guys here and there. But this is just our show back, and then yeah, we'll hope to do these for the next schedule. We're kind of planning on doing probably one or two a week as we get back in the groove of football. And I guess we will talk a little hoops. Chris keeps telling me we've got to talk some hoops, which we will do a little bit. But let's just kind of get to our interview right now.
All right, and as promised, we are talking Boise State recruiting with Andrew Sayre from the Rivals Network, blue-turf.com. Of course, covering everything Boise State. So, hey, Andrew, how you doing, man? We got 3 weeks to signing day. Getting pretty close.
Man, it's an exciting time for Bronco football. A lot of things happening, a lot of things in the works. So it's an exciting time to be a Bronco, definitely.
So let's just start at the beginning. Not the beginning, but with the coaching change. Most coaching change, everybody knows, Chris Peterson went to Washington, bring back Brian Harsin's. And a lot of the times you see this change, a lot of players leave and question their commitment to the school. We did see a quarterback, Chris, I forget his name, but Chris knows, the quarterback who left to go to Washington now is at USC.
Right.
There weren't too many recruits that really up and left, is that right, with this change?
Right.
And so if that happens, don't you think that's kind of usually odd when only maybe one or two leave? Usually kind of see, like, you saw the James Franklin thing, like, what's that, 3 or 4 guys from Vanderbilt follow him on to Penn State? That's usually kind of
absolutely
norm,
right. Well, I think it's pretty normal. I think, you know, when you have a coaching change transition, you have two types of kids out there. You have kids that commit to a university, and then you have kids that commit to coaches. And I understand the kids that commit to the coaches, because these are the guys that are in their homes telling them that they're going to, you know, change their lives for the next 4 years. You know, you think about things that are talked about in homes with parents, with all these things. And these coaches really invest, you know, a lot of their time into these kids. And these, for Chris Peterson especially, I mean, the kids he's recruiting now remember the 2006 Fiesta Bowl, his first year. I mean, that is a huge, huge thing for not only Boise State football, but for Chris Peterson's, you know, first year at Boise State. And I think that was a powerful selling point. And I think you have two types of kids. You have ones that are, you know, that really understand what university they want to go to, and then you have the ones that say, you know what, I'm going to invest my time with this coach as he coaches me over the next 4 years to make me who I'm going to be. Because if the goal is the NFL, I mean, look at Chris Peterson's track record. I mean, it's awesome. So, I mean, when it comes to something like that, I get both sides of it. But, yeah, the flips and all that fun stuff, I mean, that just happens. I mean, these kids –
They're high school kids. They're 17 years old.
Yeah, my favorite saying is and I've adapted this, is these kids change their minds like they change their shoes. Because if you ever look on Instagram, they always take pictures of their shoes. And so when you really analyze this, you can't really blame the kid for making these decisions. Sometimes these kids make these decisions on a whim, and they don't – I mean, in the case of Jalen Green, I mean, he came out and said he didn't even tell his parents he was committed to Boise State. So I think it's just kind of one of those things where you just got to look at the situation as a whole and just go, hey, you know, attrition's going to come with coaching change. I mean, that's just the way it is. And these kids are vested. I mean, they're vested not only in these coaches and not only in the program, but sometimes their heart just really, I mean, look at Dylan Sumner Gardner, who, you know, decommitted from Texas A&M to come to Boise State to play for Marcel Yates. I mean, that's huge. So, I mean, it just happens. I mean, it's hard to explain, but I mean, the only person that can really say, hey, I understand what's going on, is that kid themselves, you know?
Definitely.
Right. And I'm not going to counter you or anything like that, but I think one thing that Chris Peterson always emphasized is recruiting the OKG, the OK guy. And I think those are players who weren't meant to play in the NFL, because if you're going to go to Boise State, it's you're not going to get as closely looked at as you are as USC, UCLA, Miami, Florida State, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But you're going to go there. And I think Peterson, one thing he always did, and I remember because my junior year of undergrad, I was actually teaching a lab course, and I had a football player in my lab. And he was there to get the education. I mean, he wasn't there to, you know, look to play professionally.
Right.
And I think with this shift, with Peterson going to Washington and Harsin coming in, is that image of recruiting the OK guy still here? Or has things changed either for the better or for the worse with what Harsin's trying to do for recruiting?
I believe it is, and I'll tell you, there's two different ways you can do this. One, you can do the Chris Peterson way of finding the OKG and making sure they're an OKG, and that, you know, they kind of pan out as an OKG, which in some cases they don't. I mean, we saw, you know, some incidents this past year with the football program, and in a couple years past with the program where we've had to dismiss some kids, and, you know, just different things. But I think Harsin really will evaluate the talent, bring them in, and then make them, if they're not already an OKG, he will make them an OKG. And I think that we've heard that Harsin really doesn't put up with a whole lot. And I think that, like I said, there's two ways to do this. There's the Chris Peterson way, and then there's the Harsin way, which he'll bring in with his tradition and really pull these kids in. And if there's something wrong with it, he'll look at it and he'll look under the hood, like he says, and we'll fix it. You know, if this kid's not quite up to the OKG status, let's go ahead and let's look under the hood of this kid and let's say, what does it take to make him an OKG? What does it take to make him a man? That's one thing I've heard them both really, and I think that Harsin really learned from Peterson, is player development, character development, and how important that is to both coaches when they're teaching these kids, in essence, you know.
So with Harsin, like, he's been around a little bit. Went down to Texas, Arkansas State and Texas and things. What do you think he's picked up? Because Boise State's all about development in Arkansas State. When he went to Texas, it's all about just coach system, essentially. You got the players, coach them up some a little bit here and there, but they should be almost good to go after they learn the system. What do you think he's kind of brought in to tell these kids, like, he was successful at Arkansas State, they know what he's done at Boise State, he was at Texas, well, whatever, you're there, you did okay, I guess, to parlay that to head coach. You know, what's his, like, is he just, like you mentioned, is he just following the Chris Peterson model of getting the good guy, or is he telling guys different things a little bit, just because, like, he has to have his own style?
Well, I think it's a number of things. I think one, Harsin's very impressionable, but not only that, it's the team that he's surrounded himself with, and I think that when you have great recruiters that he's surrounded him, he's not only a great recruiter himself, but when you look at the team that he's put together here at Boise State with this new coaching staff and some of the top recruiters in some of the previous conferences that they were in, you kind of got to say, you know, hey, there's something really special going on here. And I think that, you know, when his opening press conference, when he talked about how they needed to be extremely precise and accurate with the way that they wanted to go into, you know, getting these kids and who they wanted to recruit, I think he's had this plan all along. I think he's probably dreamed about this for quite some time and really, really truly believe that he has had this game plan since probably day one since he left here, is if I ever had the chance to go back to Boise State, what would my game plan be and what would I do? And I think he's just, I think he's just nailing it. It's too early to see. I mean, obviously we need to get a year of football underneath just to kind of see, you know, how they develop players and different things and what happens. But I think if you were to look at the short time that he was here and he's been here, he's definitely executing a plan. And like I said, I think that that's something that's been in his mind for quite some time.
So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk about the recruits who are going to be visiting this weekend with the signing day coming up soon. We've got 3 weeks to go. We've got this weekend's recruits. We got Jabril Frazier, who I think is at the top of every Boise State list right now. We got Derek Bull, we got Jalen Harmy, and we got Joshua Liddell.
Yeah.
Now, me.
And don't forget Dylan. Did you say Dylan Sumergaarden?
Is Dylan Sumergaarden?
Yeah, he's visiting.
Yeah, he's here this weekend. Yeah.
He's visiting here. So, I mean, yeah, it's. So me personally, if I were to look at this list and kind of rank it top five, obviously Dylan Sumner Gardner would be first. And then I would actually put Joshua Liddell, then Frazier, Bowles, and Harvey. But a lot of people like Frazier. Why do you think that is? Why is he somebody who everybody's going after?
Yeah, kid's just an athlete, man. I mean, if you watch the tape, it's real easy to see not only a kid that might be a little bit under-recruited, but just, I mean, how special this kid is. I mean, it's really – I'm trying to sum this up into a few words here. It's fun to watch him. I mean, it really is. Everybody I've listened to on Twitter or looked at on Twitter that talk about Jabril Frazier just go, man, that guy is just, if he was here, he would make such an impact. I think he would make an impact in any program. I don't think it's just any one program. You know, and as a linebacker, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are after him. I mean, it's not any one school. It's 6'4", 225. I mean, he's got offers from, I mean, just Boise State, Indiana, Arizona, Houston, Illinois, Northern Arizona, San Diego State, Utah. I mean, he's got some fantastic offers out there. So I think a lot of people see the talent in Jabril Frazier, and I think that I think he's just going to be an outstanding player wherever he lands.
So with that, because I know you told me before you don't want to do predictions, so I don't need to mess with that. I know we already discussed how they kind of change
Hey, it's like sitting down at the poker table with pocket kings and getting beat by triple aces. I've always said that, you know, you could sit there and try to predict everything, and these kids change their minds all the time. And you know, it's funny. I ran into a situation last night where I was talking to a recruit. I can't say the name, but I was talking to a recruit who I had just read three different articles on. By different recruiting, you know, sites. And here I am talking to this kid, and he's telling me, you know, a totally different story. And he's committed to Boise State and all this stuff. And the reason he does this is because he knows that, you know, you just sit here and you talk to these kids and you just go, well, you know, I'm glad I heard it from the horse's mouth because, you know, that's comforting to me covering Boise State recruiting, but it's also comforting knowing that, you know, you're going to get that kid here on letter of intent day and he's going to be signing that paper. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a fun, it's almost like addicting fun. It's like, you know, covering recruiting. What can I talk to? What can I find out? You know, it's just exciting.
So with him being, like, just Sam Frazier, he's already, like, most, like, I'm just reading through a different place. They say Arizona might have the lead, but he visited there in July. my assumption is it's like there was something last year at San Diego State. They didn't land this kid or some linebacker from Alabama, went there just because his buddy was – he had taken an official visit. Why not go to San Diego? It's a great place. However, right. San Diego State has some pretty good recruiting coaches now. The main thing
absolutely.
Is, if you get him on campus, you have a chance. And not saying that Boise's out of it, this guy, but he went to Arizona in July. He's coming to Boise this weekend. My assumption is you get him closer to signing day, it's better than get for if they're not decided than getting them like Arizona July with USC in December, things like that. Is that under your same assumption? Get them later, closer signing period is better, you think, or just getting them at all is the best thing to do in general?
Here's what I've noticed with this new coaching staff is they are being very aggressive in getting in these kids' minds before they go on their visits and having them here after they're done with their visits or wherever they're going. So I'll give you an example. KJ Carter Samuels is going to visit Washington this weekend. Well, Mike Sanford had breakfast with him this morning. So Mike Sanford is in KJ's mind before he goes to Washington, and then KJ will visit Boise State after he visits Washington, which really tells me that this coaching staff really cares about these recruits and wants to develop them not only to be great players, but really wants them to come to Boise State because it's a great place to be and a great place to get an education. And I think that's really neat. I think we saw the same thing with Khalil, with Yates going over to his house yesterday before he went on his visit to Washington today. And I also think that, you know, we've seen that with quite a few other recruits as well. Like I said, this coaching staff is getting extremely, aggressive about making sure that they know they're letting these kids know that they're wanted here. And so, yes, I think it's a very big positive. You got Brad Kaya coming on the 24th. I think that's huge. He's visiting here after Miami. I think that's huge. I think that's definitely one of those things that's a plus for us. We always say save the best for last, and we always say, you know, wow them when they get here. But I think it's cool. I think the coaches do a fantastic job, and that's totally, you know, that's what they do. That's their the new facilities, man. I mean, holy cow. As a recruit, seeing world-class facilities is just a big deal also. So, I mean, that's where you're going to be working out for the next 4 years, right?
Definitely, yes.
So, yeah, huge plus in the recruiting world, I think, to have your college be the last impression in that recruit's mind before they leave and head back home. If you're the last, you're in good position, I think.
Okay. Excellent.
So let me ask you this. You brought his name up, and I'm actually very curious. The Miami Hurricanes commit, Brad Kaya, and also other quarterbacks that we might be looking at. We got KJ Carter Samuels. But I'm very curious about Brad Kaya because he's been a Miami commit since last May. I mean, why is he still taking time to come out and visit Boise State if he's really hasn't really looked at any other people since Miami?
I think Boise State's an opportunity that would be hard to pass up. I kind of, you know, tweeted yesterday top three reasons every QB should have Boise State on the radar, and that was the first one was depth. I mean, we're thin. You got the opportunity to start right away, world-class facilities and coaches.
Would there be the Kellen Moore factor because Harrison coached Kellen Moore perhaps?
I think that's definitely a part of it. You definitely come to Boise State knowing that you could possibly be the next greatest QB in college football.
or history, of course. The best ones ever.
Maybe that's a little bias on my part. Forgive me for that. If I sound a little too biased, but I mean the track record here at Boise State. I mean, we've had great QBs for years. I mean, it's not just one of those things where Kellen Moore came in and that was our only great QB. I mean, you look at Zabransky, you look at Taylor Tharp, what he did for a year. You look at Dinwiddie. You look at, I mean, there's just a list and just wonderful. A list of Boise State QBs who have been extremely successful. Now, they may not have played at the NFL level, but definitely made their mark in college football. And, you know, whether it was completion percentage, you know, yards per season. I mean, whatever it was. I mean, we definitely had a good list of QBs. And so I think that is. I think that I've always kind of had the thought that if Boise State could ever put a quarterback through the first round, and unfortunately we weren't able to do that with Kellen, but we definitely made a statement. I think if anybody can do that, it would probably be this staff. And I know that's a big, I know that's a big thing to say, but I look at the type of QB that they're going after. Harsin's type of QB would be taller, bulkier, compared to what Chris Peterson would have been looking at, around the 6 foot, you know, 5'11" range or so. You know, you got to, as a QB in high school, you got to question that could be a possibility.
Okay, one last thing, because I know you got to hurry and go really quick. What do you think is the kind of the biggest need? Because Boise still has a lot of guys they could sign and bring in, because they haven't, well, their class isn't hugely verbally committed yet. What do you think is the biggest need they're going to need for this season going forward? Because Aaron Balthazar left, transferred. Nick Patty's gone, a quarterback running pretty big. So what's kind of the need positions you're going to want to sign for the just to shore up for next season and next 2 years, really, at least?
You know, there's just so much youth on the team. I think really it's the QB position. I think that's the biggest one. And I think, you know, depth in the secondary and defensive lines and O-lines. I mean, really, we've got a lot of youth in our secondary. Good, solid kids, good fundamentals. Was really excited when Yates was coming back. And looking at who he brought with him and Julius Brown and, you know, just excited. Our secondary turns out. But I would definitely say QB, secondary, and the lines would probably be my top four. Probably starting with defensive line more than offensive line. But like I said, it's a toss up there. I mean, we need some depth and some experience. So, you know, we got a lot of kids coming back, too, that are going to be young and fresh and ready to make an impact, too. So I think a coaching change is good also because it freshens things up. So, you know, if you have kids that were playing last year, they're going to get a different type of style of teaching from a different coach. And I think that that's important as well. So it'll bring a new level of excitement, not only to our offensive and defensive units, but definitely we should see some fun changes in Boise State football this fall.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Yeah, awesome. You bet, good you guys. Stuff, man. Yeah, it's fun. Anytime you guys want to talk recruiting and football, you just let me know.
We'll definitely do that. And everyone, again, that was Andrew Sarah there from blue-turf.com, Boise State Rivals affiliate. So, yeah, have a good fun covering the last few weeks of signing day, and we'll probably catch you up again once it's done for after the next month.
Right on, Jeremy. Hey, thanks for having me on.
No problem, man.
All right, take care.